You're listening to Voice Memos, the show about two longtime friends who have informative, yet brief discussions about multitudinous topics. If you want to go deep into a topic, this is not the podcast for you. We keep it shallow. Now, please welcome your hosts, Jen and Myron.
Ooh, I'm early.
Oh my God. But not earlier than me.
We got 99 problems, and our podcast is not one of them. And Episode 99.
Hey, 99 problems and being P. Diddy is not one of them.
Yeah. 99. So I graduated in 1989, and I remember that I think our tagline was something like 89, like fine wine or something like that. So I mean, we're 18 years old, but we didn't talk about wine. And then so 99 for us, what could our tagline be with our 99th episode?
You know, it's amazing, huh? Because we started off saying, look, we'll go to 100, and then, you know, we'll reevaluate, see where we are, and we'll slowly take over the world from a podcasting perspective. And though we've done none of those things, here we are at 99.
We didn't even get a sponsor yet.
I mean, the way we be just really talking about companies and how crappy they are, I don't think we'll ever get a sponsor.
You're not wrong. And there's like 50 million people podcasting. So I guess I can't really say much.
It's funny you said that, because I was, I'm sort of under restriction of what I can say, but I am one of the people who gets invited to review a streaming service's movies and shows before they go out publicly.
Wait, what?
Yeah, and everything. What? I showed you that. so you know how if you're watching TikTok and those movie people say, oh, I was invited to a premiere, blah 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 blah. I'm not one of those, but there's a streaming service that contacted me maybe a year ago, maybe two, I don't know, and they said, hey, we'd like to invite you to be a, I don't know what they call it, but basically before, you know, a movie or a series is released, not all of them, just random ones that they choose, they ask you to view it in pre-production, like it's in production. So it may not have all the music, or it may not have special effects, or just random stuff. It's just incomplete, but they want your opinion. Then after you view it, then they invite you to a Zoom focus group. And with other people, you know, like yourself. And well, before the focus group, you answer a very long questionnaire, you know, and then you get to the focus group, and there's a couple of the, I guess the companies that are hosting it, there's a couple of host people. And it's usually, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 of us there, different people, you know, and then they just ask you questions about what you view, like very specific questions about just a lot of random stuff. So I'm one of those people. So I said all that to say that there was one I reviewed where it was something about podcasting. Well, that wasn't like the main deal of it, but it was like the jobs of, you know, someone on the movie series or whatever it was. And part of my feedback was nobody wants to see that.
So it was a show about podcasts?
It's not about podcasts, but that was like a job that a couple of the important people in the show have. And it just was like, to me, it just wasn't done very well. And then like, you know, I can't say too much because, you know, I don't give it a plot away, but it was unrealistic because they, you know, they were like us. They started a podcast, and before you know it, all these companies wanted to buy the podcast. I'm like, no, that shit don't work like that.
Can we go back? How did you get this gig? Is it because of our podcast?
I actually have no idea. I have no idea. I just got it. I got an email one day, and I was like, this is some bullshit. Somebody trying to get some money from me, right? And I went down the rabbit hole, and turns out it was all legit. And so I've probably done I don't know, maybe five of them so far.
What the fuck? Five of them, and now you're just telling me about this? Oh my
I totally
God.
forgot. Like, it just pops up every now and then. And the reason I thought about it now is because you mentioned podcasts, and then I was going to talk about J Lo for a minute. And I thought, oh, you know what? Let me talk. So it just popped up. Yeah. So my bad. That's on me.
This is the same guy that I will tell him months in advance, weeks and days. I'm going to Costa Rica. I am going to LA. I am going to San Diego. And the day I leave and I'm somewhere else and I say, oh, I'm on a plane, he's like, wait, where are you going? I was like, oh my God.
Why did you tell me you were going out of the country?
You don't tell me nothing.
Just a mess. So, yeah, wow. So, yeah, congratulations. We're at 99. So, next week has got to be some type of special show.
I mean, we're gonna do, I think our fans that reach out to us really enjoy the things that we hate. And I think if they don't, then they're on our list of things we hate.
Exactly. They're on the list, and even though you may not be able to see their names, they're on the list.
Yes, if they hate the fact that we do a hate list, they are part of that hate list.
Yes. So we are, throw something at you. So a week ago, a little over a week ago, I got married, right?
Yes,
You were there.
wow.
It was a fun little ceremony. We had a great time. It was just a lot of fun. So about a couple months before that, we had an engagement party here in California, and then I was at another event. So here's my little question for you. I have a not a relative, but someone in that is a friend of a friend, I would say. And as you know, I don't drink, right?
Yes.
I'm not a drinker. I've never drank my entire life. Like, this is not my thing.
Never had a sip.
Nothing. Yeah,
No.
nothing. Nothing. So I was at this engagement party, and this person was at the engagement party here. I think that was maybe December or something, or October. I don't know. It was here. And this person came up to me and said, "Hey, are you going to have a drink tonight to celebrate your engagement? You know, and we do toasts and everything." And I'm like, "No, I don't drink." Like, and this person knows that I don't drink. Like, they know that I don't drink. And I've known this person probably 10 years. So I was like, "No." And so then, at this, I was at a party before the wedding. It was a birthday party, and this person was at that party. And they said, at some point during the party, came up to me and said, "Hey, they're gonna do a birthday toast. Are you gonna drink? Are you gonna have a real drink?" And I was like, "No, I don't drink."
Oh my God.
And so then at my wedding, at the happy hour, which was very festive, as you know, it was a lot of fun.
Yes.
And this person comes up to me again and says, "Hey, this is your wedding. I know you're gonna have a drink. I know you're gonna have, are you gonna have a real drink when you start doing toasts and everything?" And so I say, "No, I don't drink." And so here's what's ironic about this to me. A lot of it is, but this person is a vegetarian. And it's not fully related, but you know how there's a certain rudeness if you say to a vegetarian, "Hey, why don't you just try a bite of this burger?" Right?
Yes.
Or something like, "Hey, there's a really good steak appetizer. Do you want to just try a little piece?" Like, I wouldn't say that to a vegetarian or to a vegan. If you're a vegan, I wouldn't say that to a vegan. Like, "Hey, eat. Just try one bite of this baked chicken. You're gonna love it." And so I can't, like, I'm not mad at it that they kept asking me this, but it just seems so weird.
I mean, I think weird is not even, to me, anytime you're in an environment that someone thinks that it's the status quo for how you celebrate something involving alcohol. And you know, before I even say that, the fact of the matter is, not everybody knows why somebody doesn't drink,
That's a
right?
good one. Yeah, that's great. Because I never say, right? I mean, you know me long enough. I just, alcohol is not my thing. And yes, I had alcoholics in my family growing up and saw a lot of alcohol related stuff, right? It's just not my thing. I don't drink. And I don't mind being around people that are drinking. I don't mind being out partying, people having fun. And it's not a religious thing with me. It's just not for me. I don't like to buy alcohol because I don't drink, and alcohol is damn expensive. So that's more of a product of me being a little cheap. But I don't really care if people are drinking and having a good time. But it's just not for me. So it seems odd that is so, it's on this person's mind. Like, why am I not drinking?
Because it makes them think for a moment, should I not be drinking? Because as you know, I stopped drinking over a year ago, and I did it for the reason of it doesn't serve me any purpose. It doesn't make me a better thinker. It doesn't make me sleep better. It doesn't make my brain function. It doesn't make my heartbeat fast. Like, there's no benefit to alcohol. And for some reason, I think with my age, the taste changed a little bit. Like, it just didn't settle well. And the constant reminder of what a hangover feels like is somewhat embedded. So, been over a little bit a year. I had a little sip at your wedding. No big deal. But what I'll say to this, to sort of share in this thought process, because it's new to me, when I go to see my dad or something, or my brother, the first question is, are you drinking yet?
That's interesting.
So, like, I never thought about it until you're sharing this story, because I've been a drinker. So I've never been put into a situation in which, and by a drinker, I was like one weekend a month, maybe. So for the record, for our audience, I didn't have a problem. But the fact of the matter is that if I go somewhere and someone asks me, even friends that say, are you still not drinking? Are you drinking? Like, that was never a conversation. So I can't even imagine you, as a person who's never even sipped alcohol, having a constant reminder all the time when you're out of, like, you not drinking. Like, to me, that seems that you don't meet very many people that have never not drank.
Right, right. And that is true. And so I am, look, I'm 59. So I'm used to.
You're what?
I'm over 50, about.
I heard that 59. I heard that 9 really, really quiet.
The volume went down. No, but you know what? I'm used to the question, because working in corporate America, and you know this, being at so many company events where they're after hours events and there's drinking, right? Either they're at restaurants or resorts, or sometimes in conference rooms, or just wherever we happen to be as a company. And part of the festivities, you know, there's open bars, or if there's a award ceremony, there's champagnes, and, you know, the whole deal. And so I'm used to being with executives and everybody's drinking.
Yes. Right?
So I used to, because I don't really drink soda. Like, it's just not my thing. And so I used to just stand there and talk to people, and until I just noticed it made people so uncomfortable.
So weird.
Yes, it's the weirdest thing. Like, if I was smoking a joint, and I don't smoke either, but if I was smoking a joint, you know, and they were drinking, that would make them uncomfortable. Well, why are you smoking weed at a company event? Well, now it's legal, but still, people would not want that. But in doing nothing, it make people uncomfortable. So I learned to start, like, having a drink in my hand, right? And so my posers, you know,
the posers,
cranberry juice and 7-Up or something that looks like a drink. And I do that just for the, not just, but because I learned to like those drinks, but in work environments, I would do that just to make other people either comfortable or less uneasy, because I'm standing around while they're drinking.
That's insane. And I've never really even thought about that in a perspective until I didn't drink. Right. Like, I never, because I've hung out with you. We've been to many corporate events together where, you know, I threw a couple back and, you know, I'm tipsy and everybody's drinking and having a good time. And then the next day you're in HR's office, not me personally, but other people are. Yeah. So you kind of watch that balance. But I've never not been a social drinker. So to be in that situation, I've never even looked at it from that perspective. I think that's a cool, first of all, I think it's super cool that you've never had a sip of alcohol in your life. And that it like it's to others, I guess that would be like, wow, you must have willpower because the peer pressure, AKA this person saying, are you gonna drink? Are you gonna drink? Are you gonna drink? That's been constantly in your like adult life and maybe even as a teenager, like drink this, oh, let's drink. To not succumb to that, is pretty amazing if you think about that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I think like this person always asking me, because you brought up a good point, like you never know why a person doesn't drink, right? They could be a recovering alcoholic. They could be I don't know. They could have DUIs and stuff like that, or bad experiences, or it could be any number, or they're not good at social drinking. It could be so many reasons, right? So it's just odd to me to question or to continue. I don't know if she if that person was questioning me, but to sort of offer or just sort of insist that I do to join in, because it wasn't doing anything for them. Like if I grabbed a drink, when we were doing toast at the wedding, for example, because I don't know if there was champagne there, but I know that there was an open bar and there was wine and people had, drinks and stuff. And I guess they wanted me to grab a drink, do a toast, so they could say, "Oh, you really do drink on certain occasions," when really I don't. Like, but I don't know why that would have been important to them.
I don't know. Like, I don't understand that either. The only way I could say it or probably understand a little bit is that they've never had somebody not do it. So it's a
Right.
weird, uncomfortable situation for them, which is so strange to me.
It's
Like,
strange.
just respect the fact of like, okay, I don't drink. All
And
right, props.
just,
Like,
yeah, and just move on. They move on.
I
Like,
don't, it's, is
move
this
on.
the same person that said they were vegan 98% of the time? Because let me tell you something, son, then you are not a vegan. Like legitimately, and I think you said this too. You can't say I don't drink, but I drink at a wedding or I drink on
Right.
Saturdays, but I'm not a drinker. Like you can't do that.
It doesn't work like that. You are, yeah, right. Or you say, "I don't smoke, I just smoke when I'm drinking." Or "I don't smoke, I just smoke when when my friends are around smoking." Like, you know what? It's just I can't, you know what? I can't remember the movie, but there's a movie and there's this guy who's a detective and he's sort of questioning this person. And one of the things that the detective notices is that the person says they're a non-smoker, and the detective is like, "Well, but there's matches or something, ashtray something," and then the person, the detective, is questioning, says something like that, one of those dumb things. "Oh, I just smoke when I'm nervous, or I just smoke when my friends or something." And then the detective is like, "Look, let me tell you something, and this has nothing to do with being a detective. You either are a smoker or you're not. And if you're a smoker, get every goddamn cigarette you want and just smoke them and just feel good because you're a smoker. But all this middle ground bullshit you're doing, you're just wasting everybody's time because you're a smoker anyway."
I just, God damn, it's funny how people, when you're an observer, like I love to observe people. I love to hear conversations, like overhear conversations that they don't think you're really listening to because you find out the strangest thought process of people.
You
What
really do.
were you going to say about J-Lo?
Okay, so J-Lo,
Oh, God.
Jennifer Lopez, Jenny from the Block,
Yeah.
whom I happen to like. I like Jennifer Lawrence or Jennifer Lopez as an actor. I think
I
she's a
do too.
right. I think she has a I think she's a good actor.
I do
Like,
too.
there's some people that don't like her for acting, but I think she can, like, she's very pretty, obviously, but I think she, has some good little roles and I like her. And so, but she has this, But as a singer, I mean, come on, let's be real.
Awful, yeah.
But she has this special on Amazon Prime. And it's called, I think it's called Jennifer Lopez, This Is Love, or This Is Me Now, or something like that.
This Is Me Now.
And so I've seen snippets, a lot of the snippets I've seen on TikTok, Twitter. But I looked at some of it on Amazon Prime, and it's really bad. And she, you know, I went down the rabbit hole with it. Like, what is this all about? So she released a new album, right? And then she wanted to do this. It's like a movie, like a documentary movie kind of deal. And nobody would fund it. Like, she couldn't get funding. Yeah, she couldn't get funding for it. And so she financed it herself. And the story is that she was, you know, everybody that knew her was telling, don't finance this yourself. There's no market for this. And it appears to be, this is just me, it appears to be her trying to do what Taylor Swift and Beyonce just did, have a big album out and have a documentary about the album, the tour, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And she wanted that. And it just, it doesn't hit. Like, it's really, it's terribly done. Like, it's terribly done. And so she's been getting just excoriated, just destroyed online for it being as bad as it is. Because it's a vanity project, is what it is. It's just all vanity. And which, I mean, most of Hollywood and music, that is vanity. Like, I mean, that's what they do. But it's just not, it's not done very, and it's really terrible. Okay, so going back to me talking about how I get to review upcoming movies and stuff.
Yes. That you never told me about, yeah.
There's one with her coming up.
Oh no. What?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, it's, and it's not very good. It's not
a movie.
It's a real movie. And you know what? And I like her as an actor. Like, let me just preface this. I still enjoy the preview of the movie that I saw, you know, but it's not very good. But again, I saw an early version of it. So what they do is they get the feedback, and in theory, they make adjustments and change things. So it may end up being a good movie. Right.
So you see it before it's like edited or like.
Yeah, it's in the process. And so like the special effects may be like half done, or sometimes there's a part of the movie where it'll, like, something on the screen would just say there will be music behind this scene right here, so it'll be little stuff like that, and it's undone. But yeah, so I got to see it, and she's not it, like, I enjoy her, but it's not very good. But I was thinking about that because all the piling on going on with this really crappy documentary, and her ticket sales, like, you didn't even know, like, do you even know that she has an album out?
No.
Yeah, I mean, nothing, right? And I just, so anyway, I feel bad for her, but there are stories about her on TikTok that are like Ellen stories.
They are, like Ellen.
Like Ellen. And sir, there are hundreds of them where, you know, when it's just one or two, you go, you know, everybody would be mad at a celebrity every now and then, but there's hundreds, and it's not just people on the street. It's people that have been in, you know, dancing with her, and people that went to school with her, and of course, restaurant and just movie set people, music video people. It's just, they are destroying her. And I'm like, oh my God.
Well, I have a friend who knows somebody that knows her and has done her hair. And let me just say that there's never the diva of all divas, like somebody. I saw a video that J-Lo spit her gum into her assistant's hand.
Oh my God.
So
I saw one today where the lady said on a runway, she said she wasn't going next, like, to the little place where you stand and they take your pictures. She said, "I'm not going till all those peasants are gone." And it was the lady, it was her. She goes, "It was me. I was the peasant. I work runways." Like, she's like, assistant or I don't know, some title. And she looks around and it was her. She said, "I was the peasant."
good day, peasant. Wow.
I know. But yes, like, that's what they're saying, that the diva of divas. And yeah, those stories are like those Ellen stories.
Wow. And so interesting that, I mean, I guess when you think about how all this stuff comes out, you think about how she was just a dancer on In Living Color and then turns into this. If you were famous, would there be any diva part of you? Like, would you require something as a very famous person? Let's say you're J-Lo famous. Everybody knows J-Lo or whatever it is. Would you have some requirement?
That's a really good question. So I would. So
What would it be?
okay, here are my requirements, right? I thought about this. I thought about
Yeah, clearly you pretended you hesitated, but you already had something.
okay, look, when I arrive at the hotel, I want my room to have 2 plates of fresh cut fruit.
Oh.
And I'll tell you why. Because I used to travel a lot with work, and your system for regular dumping gets messed up. You travel a lot. And I learned that if upon arrival I had a plate of fresh fruit, I could get everything straightened out very quickly.
So, hotel, you have to have fresh fruit. Doesn't matter what kind of fruit, just
Doesn't matter.
fresh.
Yeah, I like all fruit. So just a plate of fresh, 1 or 2 plates of fresh fruit. And if I'm going to be there 3 days or whatever, for an engagement or something, then every day, when I come back, every night I come back to the hotel, I want fresh fruit there. That's it. Like, that's all I can really think of. Like,
That's
just
really not a lot.
that's really not a lot, right? And you know what? And I would be okay with sitting on the Jimmy Fallon show saying, "This is my diva request." And I would
Yeah.
talk just like I just told you, because I need to stay on a regular poop schedule. That's all. And who's going to hate you for that? People totally understand that.
They would all like, no one could argue that.
Right? Right? So what would yours be?
I was first and foremost, I would be very welcoming of all people. Like, I would want to always talk to people. I would be as nice as I could be to everybody, fans. I would treat anybody that worked with me as a team member and know I re like 1000% that I'm always have to be on because I can turn into an Ellen or a J-Lo by one phrase, one topic. Like, I would want to be the coolest, most hands-on famous person. I would request all the time cold ass sparkling water. Like,
Oh,
the
that
water
sounds
has
so
got to,
good.
it's got to be cold. Like, it's got to be, the can has to be chilled so that when I pop that baby open, it is just so cold it hurts.
That's so good.
That's
That's
it.
okay. Okay, that's a good one. So you made me think of something. So I would like to be that famous. I would make sure that being nice to people and stuff like you're talking about, I would make sure that I would always be available. Like, I would set time that I could A, talk to the crew, the people, right? But also make myself available to them for pictures, photographs, signing, the little things they have, or if they have family members there, like that little stuff. I would always do that for the crew and all the people.
Yeah, see, I like that because I mean, we're not famous. And maybe if we were, the perspective would be because you always hear famous people say, I didn't sign up to have my life like under a light, like to be under a microscope. But you kind of do when you become famous, like you're choosing to
Right.
be in the public's view. So everything you do is going to be scrutinized. I would be as friendly as I could to people. I would love, I mean, honest to goodness. Yeah, I would definitely don't have any diva moments, meaning I don't need my hotel suite to have fresh roses. I don't need tofu from Japan that was made in, you know, this one area with these soybeans. Like, I don't need that kind of bullshit.
Yeah, or like only green M&Ms or something.
That exactly. Or like Jelly Bellies that are white. You know, like that's just not, I would not get to that level because that is not how a human being functions. That is more of your ego, right? Like, because I have this ability, I'm going to use that power and make everybody else seem like a peasant. And to J-Lo's accusations that are being told are against her.
Right. Like, I could imagine in real life calling someone a peasant.
Never. I mean, I call my friends that all the time. Like, I succeed at something and they don't. I'm like, you peasants, like stuff right? Like in a joking way, but as a real person to say, I'm not going to that area of town around those peasants. I
That's
would be
crazy,
embarrassed
right?
for myself. I would be embarrassed.
Oh, I would be so, like, if that story came out, you know, that I had said that, I would be online. I would be apologizing so hard.
Like, without a doubt, I would do one of those live feeds talking to people. That's not how that came out. Here's what happened. I would not want that to be attached to my name.
Right? Like, yeah, those stories, I finally have to like just stop like seeing those stories because there's so many of them. And I
Damn,
just,
is that on Twitter? Because I don't see it. I don't
it's,
see.
No, it's on TikTok.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
If you just go J-Lo, it's just like story after story. It reminds me of that one that came out about Steve Harvey that time that said he didn't want, he put out a, I think he put out a memo or something. And it just said something like he told, you know, the crew, the staff to don't even look at him when he comes in. Just don't look. Just let me. And so, and so what I think he means is when I'm first coming to work, I got so much to do that I don't have time to stand and just, you know, stand around, drink coffee and talk to people. Just don't bother. That's what he meant, right? I get that. But man, you can't be saying, putting out memos, telling me don't even look at you. And they're making your show.
Oh my God. No. And I see the J-Lo TikToks about her saying, this is how my hair looked like in the
Oh,
Bronx
that
as a
was Jenny from
teenager.
the Block.
And that she goes to the bodega and orders a ham and cheese sandwich with an orange drink. And everybody's like, what the fuck is an orange drink at the bodega? Like,
Right, but
there's
the
no
worst,
such thing.
the worst part, she says, because the little voiceover goes, what do you order at the bodega? She's like, the bodega? And she's all sassy and cute. And she goes, I get a ham and cheese and I get an orange soda. If you know, you know. As if that's something. It's an orange, like what? And then she goes, and a small bag of chips. And let me tell you, people from New York are destroying that. Like, and they're like, what bag of chips? What is the chips? What's the chips you order?
Yeah, because they're so detailed.
She was making it up. She was making
it
up.
Oh my God. And her documentary with her umbrella dance with the little hummingbird. I mean, she's getting just annihilated. So you're right. I've seen that. I didn't see the comments about how people say I worked with her and she is horrible.
Yeah, it's there. You know what? As a matter of fact, there is a video, a TikTok, where someone, and I think it's from her special, and it's Ben Affleck talking about her. And he says something that I think he nails it. Ben Affleck says, because, you know, he is an alcoholic. And he says, you know, he says, my addiction is to alcohol. And he says, I don't know if he says my wife or Jennifer, however he says it, her addiction is to fame. She's addicted to it. And so she wants all this attention and adulation. And he even talks about like, this didn't have to be made. And part of he didn't say this, but part of the reason for the pushback and the people going after it was that, you know, one person said a great point. He said, if I want to listen to Jennifer Lopez music, I'm going to listen to the music she put out in the early 2000s. You know, it was dance, it was fun. And this person said, even if we now know all the vocals weren't hers
at all,
they're like, okay, we understand that. But the music is pretty, you know, it has a 2000s vibe and it's pretty good. I can listen to that. And this person said, I listened to the album she just put out. And he, you know, he makes jokes about it, like, I'm probably the only person. And he goes, it's no different than that. And so he goes on to say, most artists over a 20-year period, their music's going to evolve. Like Beyonce, Taylor Swift, anybody. If you have a 20-year span, he goes, I can listen to other artists. If I want to listen to their old stuff, I listen to their old stuff. I want to listen to their new stuff. I listen to their new stuff because it's good. It's just a different phase of their lives. He said, but this J-Lo album is just a repeat of her stuff from the 2000s. And why would I listen to this when I can listen to that? That's much better. And I thought that was a good way of putting that.
That's a good analogy because you're right. I think about all these, damn, that's the thinking process of that. When I listen to a Teddy Swims album, I mean, everything is always different and elevated. It doesn't sound the same.
It doesn't sound the same.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. Like even your Beyonce was a really good analogy because, you know, you've got Destiny's Child Beyonce.
Right.
Yeah.
You got it.
Damn, that's good.
Because, sir, if you think, okay, we are in our 50s.
Okay.
And our management style or what we know, you know, how we do things, say in our 30s to now, is totally different.
Totally different.
Right. Like we build on it. Like it's not that we abandon that who we were, what we knew then, but you build on it. So you approach things differently and you approach it from experience and stuff like that. So it does make sense. If you're doing the same thing, then it gets stale and people know that.
Yeah, that you're right. Because I was thinking about leadership. I got a really amazing little video from one of my team members. She's a direct report of mine, but you know, we're on the same team. I hate saying boss and, yeah, you know, my employee. This just sounds too sterile. And she sent me this video about how in the video was a woman that talks about how rare it is to have a boss that is supportive and validating because the majority of managers or leaders are toxic and could be a cause for many people's illness. I saw one woman post on that and said, I was hospitalized by a boss that never even touched me.
Oh my
because
God.
Because of the mental, like, I guess just the angst that you put on employees, the micromanaging, the belittling, all of that comes in a toxic environment. And for that team member to send me that today made me reflect on the evolution of my leadership and how I show up for people. And basically, because I mean, you're pivotal in my career, but if I didn't listen and was not open to feedback as being a gift, I would have never evolved as a leader. So I think to the point of you saying about music, it's like, here is using Beyonce as an example, like this is really good, but now you need to do this because you're getting better. Now you've heard some feedback from the people that are closest to you. And now let's step up your game, like trust yourself, build your confidence. Like it's that integration or that the iteration of how, if opening yourself up, understanding feedback is a gift, you become a better version of yourself, unless you're somebody that's so toxic that thinks that they're so good that any feedback is not necessary because you think you're really good at what you do.
Yeah, that's really smart. And you mentioned Beyonce. Have you listened to Beyonce's new album? I think it's called Cowboy Carter and Act Two.
Yes.
What do you think?
Well, let me tell you. I mean, I'm not a Beyonce fan, and I don't want to say that too loud because I don't want the beehive and the swarm and all that shit to be after me. But she, She's very talented, but sometimes her music just didn't resonate with me. So, not a big deal. And I'm not also a country music fan either. I used to be. I thought how this music has been put together and the artists that she pulled from all over, musically, not only vocally, but instrumentally, right? And the stories that I liked how she used her platform to give other artists a place to perform.
Love
And I
that.
thought it was good. I really thought the Miley Cyrus, I think it was called Most Wanted, that collaboration was really amazing.
That's gonna be really
Blackbird, as you know, and I think most, maybe you don't know, maybe our audience knows, but Blackbird was an original Beatles song. And it was really because of the 60s, the civil rights movement, all of that, where Blackbird was really the black girl based on all the young girls that were going to school under that racial umbrella, that horrific time in our history, which still continues today. But and to have, I think I want to say Tanner. Oh my God, I don't want to screw up the names, but those three women that collaborated on that song was really breathtaking. So, what are your thoughts?
I'm gonna put this in my magazine as well. I'm not big. I'm not a big music person, right?
Yeah, me
I just
neither.
whatever people are listening to when I'm around, I'm just like, okay, great. I do like Stevie Wonder. Like, I love Stevie Wonder, right? And I love Stevie Wonder music, and because I think Stevie Wonder is, I like his writing, and I love writing. So I listen to the Beyoncé this album, and a few months ago with Ellie-Ann, I went to the movies to see her Renaissance movie that she did.
Oh, okay. Because Eliana is a huge Beyonce fan, right? I'm
Yes,
like,
she's
okay.
a relatively newcomer, just a couple of years ago, because she and her sister went to a Beyoncé concert
Okay.
in New York, and she was like, that's what did it for her. So
Okay.
now. Now, like we were saying earlier, I remember Beyonce as part of Destiny's Child, young, and they were just R&B doing their deal. And then, you see her stuff through the years, from Lemonade, her Beyonce album, and I finally saw this Renaissance movie. And then, so I listened to this, I listened to the Cowboy Carter, it's called.
Yes.
And let me take a little sidetrack. That and you'll find this with a lot of black families. That black families generally like country music,
Yeah.
right? Like it's like my parents or grandparents loved, I've mentioned this before, loved Hee Haw, Charley Pride, Dolly, Loretta Lynn. They love these country singers, and because most black people come from the South, right? And for obvious reasons why we were in the South, but still. Something like 75, 80% of black people still live in the southern states. And so country music was just part of our lives. Now, I didn't live in the South, but my parents and all my grandparents did. And so I grew up listening to, like most people, you listen to the music your parents listen to, right? And so in addition to my mother loving Motown and then disco, they love country music. Okay, so you come with that background. Now, I would say in the last, I don't know, 15 or 20 years, country music turned into a bro fest.
Yes, you are
Right?
not wrong.
You can listen to, and I've done this, you can listen to a country music station and only hear men singing. And I did some research on it, and something like more than 70% of the records that get play on country music are from men. And so when you
Wow.
think of like the Dixie Chicks, Reba McEntire, Trisha Yearwood, Shania back in the day, all these the newer ones, right? Carrie Underwood, Kelsea
The
Ballerini,
Judds.
Judds, right? You think of all those big names in country music, and those women don't even get a lot of play on country music radio.
Wow.
And then I did it yesterday. I went to a country music station and I counted seven men in a row songs they were playing, not even a woman.
Crazy.
It's crazy, right? And so country music took a turn to that. You know, I'm a big patriot. I have a truck, a flag, or this lyric that my daughter and I still sing around here from Sun Song. And it's just some guy going, and this is the actual lyric, sitting here drinking beer, talking God. Amen. I'm like, come on. And come on. Just the absolute worst. So even though that is like was pushed out as representative of country. It's really not like that. That is really niche, but it's made to seem like that's the biggest thing. So with that background, I listened to the Beyoncé album, and I agree with you that it is very good.
Yeah,
and actually, not every song I would even categorize as country.
Like yeah, I agree with you on that.
Somewhere sort of maybe folk, maybe somewhere a little bit bluesy, but
yes, folky. That's the word, a little folky. Yes.
Yes, but some of them are decidedly country. And she's from Texas. She's from Houston. And you know, there were some people saying, well, she can't be country. And you just go, Shania Twain is from Canada. And that guy that's married to Nicole Kidman, he's from Australia. Like, what do you mean this black girl from the South can't be country?
Shania Twain is Canadian, right?
Yes, Shania Twain is Canadian. It's so funny. And then there's, and of course, because it's America, everything's turns into a racial discussion, right? With black people saying, well, black people originated country music, but got pushed out of it. The banjo comes from Africa. And you have all these other country artists who are black, but they just don't get the big play because country music radio in particular, it's just misogynistic. It just plays men, right? So her album, or this album, is really good.
It's good.
I'm like you. I love the fact that she recognized that it was that making an album like that was new to her. And so she brought in all these other country singers, country musicians, black and white, right? Not just black people.
Yeah.
She brought them in. And now Miley is big, right? Everybody, Miley is huge. Miley's, you know, winning awards. Her music is big. She's popular. And that wasn't going to boost Miley's career. Miley is like Miley.
Yes.
But the work she did bringing in these other smaller artists and all of their streams have gone up, you know, 200, 2,000%. And even those streams, that might not be a lot of money in the streams, but that turns into purchases and that turns into bigger venues and more gigs. And so that does do something. And every one of those people, I looked up the people that she has on her album, the singers and the songwriters and the musicians, and you go to their social media feeds and every one of them is talking about how honored, how excited, how it's done so much for their career, how they love it. Everyone is appreciative. And even when you go to the biggest person on the app, Dolly Parton, right?
Yes.
And Dolly Parton, and because Beyonce did an interpretation of Jolene, and it just says written by Dolly Parton. Like, there's just standalone. There's nobody else with this because Dolly is Dolly. And she owns that. And even she put out a statement. I was excited to get contacted by Beyonce. I love her spin on Jolene and blah, 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 blah. It's just really nice. And so going back to that artist thing, I really love that an artist can do something different. You don't have to just do the same thing.
You have to do the same thing. And, you know, your mention about Dolly makes me go back to the conversation that you and I had is if I was a celebrity, I would act like Dolly Parton.
She is the prototype.
Like, you don't hear that woman is what, 76 years old, maybe 80 now, but maybe 78, something like that. And I have not heard one bad thing about Dolly Parton. Not one.
Never. And you know what? If someone, look, if you did hear something, if I did hear something, I would go, no, you're lying.
Yeah, that's wrong. Yeah,
you're wrong, and Dolly's right.
Exactly. I am team Dolly all the way. So it's funny how, yeah, I enjoyed it. And like I said, I didn't listen to other, sprinkle of her other albums. She's not somebody that ever stood out. I'm very much like you. I'm not a music lover. Now you might fall in love with, I'm a Louis Capaldi fan. I went to a concert of his. I enjoyed it. That's not Ed Sheeran, because I know you think all of them look the same.
Exactly.
So you don't like Ed Sheeran. And Louis Capaldi, when I went to him, you said, "Why are you going to see Ed Sheeran?"
God. You know what? For our wedding playlist, for the music, for the DJ, I had an absolute no to anything Ed Sheeran. Absolutely no. Because what, sir? Because I asked this question. I think everyone has, if we're just talking about music, everyone has a singer or something that is just a no for them. It doesn't mean that they're not talented, that they don't win awards.
Yeah.
It just for you. So that's Ed Sheeran for me. I don't care what he does. I hate his guts.
You just if I have anybody like that. It might be like, I don't know. I'd have to really think about that.
Yeah, for my new wife, Ellie-Ann, her no play on the playlist at the wedding was Taylor Swift.
Wow. She
Yeah,
does not like Taylor Swift.
she just said, nope, don't play Taylor Swift. And we just had to name her, what did we want? And like, I don't think my daughter Leah had anybody, but her best friend had a her best friend's enemy artist is Camila Cabello.
Oh, I can see that. I mean, because Zoe is a very huge Billie Eilish fan and like Lana Del
Eilish,
Rey.
yes, those two. If so, for some reason, like that, she draws line at
Man,
Camila.
the only person I turn the radio off for is Michelle Branch. And that's because I listen to Coffee House, just something in the background, and her voice is too high for me. I like a good raspy voice. I don't like somebody that's high pitched, so she's the only one that comes to mind. But that's so funny that everybody has somebody that it's like an absolute no.
Right. It's just, and you know what? And it's like, it's not even worth arguing about. It's just, this is just the one person. I don't want to hear their music ever.
Yeah, it's just like you saying, "I don't drink, don't ask me any questions."
Why? Just let it go. Just let it go. Like you can't chase them. They want me to drink a toast. And you know what's funny about that? I think if I had done that, I wouldn't. But if I had done that, the next time I was at an event with that person, they would go, hey, come on, I know you drink. Just here. Here's another. Right?
You opened up Pandora's box.
And then, I
So
mean,
true.
right? Like, why do they want this? It was like a pusher man. Like, what is happening there?
What do you work for the alcohol company? Like, what's your deal, man?
Are you a bottle girl? Like,
God damn. Okay, so we are almost coming up to the end, but I need to tell you that I normally listen to your recommendations for TV shows if it doesn't have anything to do with like anime or maybe even like superhero stuff sometimes, or like whenever you say, "I think your nephews will like this," I don't watch it. So I will say that you mentioned Shogun, which is the Japanese 1600s Japanese. I am telling you, first of all, I am definitely watching it Japanese all day. Like, I am reading subtitles because I would have been pissed. I don't know how they're doing it in the non-subtitles, like the dub overs, for the translation pieces, because the woman is translating to the English guy in Japanese. So if I'm doing a dub over and it's in English, how does that even translate?
I don't even know. That's crazy.
Okay, that's crazy. So I am enjoying this show, and like you said, the first kind of two episodes, you're like, wait, what the fuck is happening? What is going on here? Did I miss? Because you can't eat anything while you're watching. You can't be on your phone. Like,
Can't
you
gotta
literally
watch.
have to. You've got to watch it. So, by the third episode, it starts like piecing together, and by the fourth, you're like, "Oh Lord, this is
Right,
brilliant."
it's on. It's just what I'd say, right? That third, you got to get to those three because it's hard to sort it out. But man, by that fourth one, it's like, holy moly.
Holy moly! Like, I'll watch the fifth episode tonight because a big thing just happened. But we were going to talk about, because we said last week there was going to be a spoiler, right? We were talking about Apples Never
Yes.
Fall. Okay.
Yes.
So let me just tell you. And we saw, I forget who it was that posted on Twitter and said, your brother was right. That ending was trash. And they wanted their 5 hours back. So basically, Apples Never Fall is a family that seems like they have their shit together, but when you start to peel back the onion and the layers, you know that there's some chaos amongst the family. So, opening episode, the woman apparently, from just the observation piece, the mother goes missing. So the kids are trying to find the mother, and you're getting stories in each episode about the children and how their lives are and where each of them, like their relationship with their family. And then the father, you think he might have killed her, but there's no body ever found. Then there's a bloody shirt that's found in the neighbor's backyard. So this whole time you're trying to figure out what the hell's happening to the mother. Then this strange woman shows up in the second episode, knocking on the door, saying, "Oh my God, thank you for opening your door. I got away from my ex-boyfriend."
Okay.
So, okay, everything's cool and dandy. So the mother and father take this girl in, and she becomes part of their life. Like, they really enjoy her, they do fun things with her. So you're getting this then and now view from watching it. So it's like the bottom screen says then, and then then it'll say now, and you kind of going back and forth leading up to this ending.
Okay.
So all these bits and pieces come to the end, and you know what? The end is the mother's never dead. She
Oh.
just went away with this girl that she took in and lived in a cabin.
That was it? Like she went on a sabbatical?
Sabbatical. Never said why. Never, they never came back to the bloody shirt that was in the neighbor's backyard with her DNA. Literally, it just ended.
Was she just burned out?
She was just fed. She just wanted to be away from her family.
Oh my God. I'm so
So,
glad I didn't
and
think.
there's pieces in there that you're like, that's it. And that's really basically it that I could have probably described a little bit more that got can get you super agitated. But legitimately, she never died. Like, that's it.
That's a waste of time.
That a waste of time. So again, if anybody's watching it, I ruined it for you. Good, because you'll thank me. You should be thanking me that I ruined this for you so that you don't get lost in it. But I am super excited because Apple TV popped up with a new season of Loot on,
You know what? I had totally forgotten about that show, but I
it's
love,
been years.
yes, and I love her. And I watched the first episode and thought, as a little simp, I thought, okay, I'm gonna enjoy this. And then I never went back to it. I totally forgot.
Oh my God. So season two is out. Maya Rudolph is the concept is she's married to like a Jeff Bezos guy in the first season. They get divorced. She gets all this money and decides to like do like nonprofit shit. And so she's working with this nonprofit organization, and it is chef's kiss. I loved the first season. I'm excited. I think this first episode of 2024 season two is 27 minutes. So there's that, which I'm super excited about. And I cannot tell you how amazing Curb Your Enthusiasm is this season. Like, I.
This is it, right? This is the
This
final.
is it. And I'm so mad about it because there is no TV show that does with what Curb Your Enthusiasm does. There's no TV show that does that.
I told someone that if you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, you can no longer watch or enjoy Seinfeld,
You can't.
right? Because it's just a pale imitation of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Like it's it, right?
You are. That is the perfect synopsis of Curb Your Enthusiasm. And if you don't find that shit funny, I don't know how we can even like. I don't know what we have in common.
Yeah, I'm gonna get caught up on that. So I'm gonna tell you something. Look, you should watch this. You'll enjoy it.
Okay.
Right? You're gonna think you won't, but you will. It's on Netflix called Three Body Problem.
Okay.
So it's sort of so. It's not really sci-fi because it's just on Earth and stuff, but It's very deep, and it basically asks the question. It doesn't, but I would sum it up as, you know, we'd be sending these messages into space, kind of deal.
Yep.
And this astrophysicist once said, and this sort of encapsulates the movie for me. He once said, it's called the forest theory, that when you go into the forest at night, all the little animals are quiet. And the reason they're quiet is because they know there's a predator waiting on them to make some noise.
Ooh.
And if they make noise, the predator is going to get them. So part of this astrophysics theory is the reason space is so quiet because all the other civilizations have figured out, shut the fuck up. Because there's something out there, that kind of deal. So I thought about that in watching this series. It's not that, but it made me think about that. But it's a very good series. And it's season one. That I think there's going to be three seasons, and Netflix has committed to it. So they're not going to like cancel all of a sudden. But this first season is so good.
Okay. And how many episodes is it?
There are eight.
Okay. All right. I saw that pop up on Netflix and I thought, okay, this is a little, this seems like a good one because you just said something about the quiet. So we remember The Quiet Place, the movie, right?
Yes.
The Quiet. Oh, there's going to be three Quiet Place. So they're going to show, there's going to be a movie, I think, comes out this.
I saw the preview.
Yeah, where it's about how, like, the day it happens. Woo! That people will understand. I can't wait for that. So, okay, I'll give that one a shot.
Okay, so there's that one. And then are you caught up? And then we got to go. Are you caught up on The Real Housewives of? It's the one with that lady. Her name is really weird, but I think it's pronounced Sean or something like that. But it's spelled.
Okay,
like,
so I don't watch Potomac.
No, it's not Potomac. It's you know the one with the guy. It's a white guy. He has really, really bad fake hair, and he cheated on his girlfriend with another cast member.
Cheated on his girlfriend with another cast member. Are you talking Vanderpump Rules?
Oh yes, that's what it's not. Housewives of Vanderpump Rules.
Yes, I am caught up on that shit. Yes.
Woo, that show, man, it is wild.
But they are not wrong that Ariana needs to like cleanse and stop carrying all this hate.
She does. And you know what? They live together.
They live together. She could leave, but she's choosing not to.
It's a mess.
How do you close that chapter if you're still living with the person that cheated on you?
Every single day.
I love their dog, though. That dog, Maya, is so damn cute.
And that's part of their fight. Like she says,
yes.
I adopted the dog. I did all the stuff. But he's saying it's part of it's his dog, too. And I'm just thinking, because I asked Ellen, how long have they been together? She goes, 10 years. I go, well, that means that dog is community property. Like, yeah. He would get visitation rights. So why don't you guys just separate?
Just leave. Oh, my God. What's her face always says, Lala. She's like, yes. Just leave. So yeah, I'm caught up on that. That is chef's kiss. I'm watching Shogun. I'm also watching The Valley. So Jax, who used to be on Vanderpump Rules with Brittany, is now in The Valley. So I'm watching that.
Yes, I think Ellie was watching. I haven't seen it yet. She was also watching that, and she was watching Martha's Vineyard or something.
Oh, yeah, I don't watch those. I don't watch Summer House or Martha's Vineyard.
And it's some silly little arguments. But the other thing I'm watching is still, I'm caught up. I'm a little bit behind on Abbott Elementary. That show is so funny.
I'm so far behind on that, too. But I do love Abbott.
It's so funny. And something that I think your nephews might like. Okay, it's out on Disney Plus, and it's called Nell the Renegade, and NELL, and it's set like maybe in like the 1700s. I think they're in England, and it's sort of like Robin Hood kind of stuff, but it's also sort of superhero kind of stuff. But it's really good. So anyway,
Nell the Renegade. Now, how old are my nephews?
I think your oldest is 16.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm so proud of you.
I remember. We will come back next week with, we're going to just talk about things and people that we hate.
Yes, I can't wait. So we'll be talking a lot about Trump next week.
Perfect. And Ed Sheeran.
And Ed Sheeran and Taylor Swift, I guess, really. Awesome. Always fun. Remember, go to our show, rate us. You can reach out to us on our social media platforms. Just, hey, if there's something you want us to talk about, we have an opinion on everything. So please do that. We are open to it. Rate us, share us, all of that fun stuff.
Yes, we love to hear from you. And we will see you next week for 100.
100. Bing, bing, bing,
bing. Peace out.
Peace out.
Love this podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a review. Visit the episode description to find out how you can connect with the hosts on social media. Voice Memos is a production of Dear Dean Publishing. All rights and trademarks reserved. No portion of this podcast shall be reproduced commercially without consent.